I'm going to say it is a joy to do the work of God. Amen. There's nothing like it. And you know, God's plans many times for our life is not our plans. And what you just saw was not in the script for my life. But last year, God just literally took us and put us in that ministry, opened the door. And as you heard, my pastor did call us and ask us to pray about that ministry. And Brother Bill Eubanks, y'all probably, maybe some of you know who Brother Bill is. He was crazy. And he was the man that flew over the Vatican and bombed it with Chick Tracks. And he was, Brother John knows Brother Bill. He you got to be about half a bubble off to do the work of God anyhow. And I mean, he was out of sight as far as that's concerned. But Brother Bill, he was our friend. And through the years, he asked me to pray about taking that ministry. And of course, being Brother Bill, as crazy as he was, it was not in my plans. But and then whenever he went home to be with the Lord, God opened the door for us to continue that ministry. Miss Janet had already sent out letters several months before saying they were shutting down the ministry, and we prayed about continuing it. So we picked up the mantle and we're continuing that thing. I didn't really know where to start, to be honest with you. And we started in October of last year in Denver, Colorado. I got about 2,500 Chick Tracks, put them in a suitcase. I called a friend of mine, Brother Matt Kinman, and we flew to Denver. That was the first city. I said, let's just go do something. I don't have a clue what we're doing. But let's just go find some people somewhere. I mean, I guess we could have started in Houston. There's more people here than there are in Denver, but I just wanted to go somewhere just to kind of get the full experience. And so I prayed about what city, and the Lord laid Denver on my heart. And so we went to Denver, outside the Denver Nuggets Stadium, and we passed out. I thought 2,500 tracks would be enough for 3 days. It would take us 3 days, and it took us about an hour and a half, amen, to get all those out. So we had 2 extra days just to kick around in Denver, had a good time there. And then, of course, we went, as you saw some of those pictures, I don't know if you knew where some of those places were, but a lot of those were taken in Europe and Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, there at the Berlin Wall, and also the Arabic tracks were Arabic community in Berlin, where there were literally tens of thousands of Arabic-speaking Muslim people. And I went with Brother Gabriel Weimer, and he took me to that area, and we were able to put out over 4,000 of those Arabic tracks there in that city to those Arabic people. There were big communities where they all live in these apartments. And so all the mailboxes were on the outside. And so there's like 150 mailboxes per building. And we just put them all in there, you know. And so you just never know where those tracks are going to go and who they're going to touch. And you know, the world's only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's their only hope. And we can preach all this other stuff, but the only hope is really, and that's your only hope, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you pray for us. We just got back 2 weeks ago, or whatever Memorial Day was. I get it mixed up. Amen. I've been gone so much. Just got in from Pennsylvania last night, but we went to Washington D.C. That's a new video, as you can see, and a lot of that footage was there in front of the White House, the Washington Monument, I think, or Lincoln Monument, and all that. And so we went for Memorial Day week, and there were millions of people. We passed out almost 10,000 Chick Tracks on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And so you just never know where they're going to go and what lives they're going to touch. And so you pray for us. There's some prayer cards there in the back on the table. And next week, I get on an airplane, and I'm going to Papua New Guinea. And we'll be there for almost 3 weeks, and we'll be carrying Chick Tracks into the villages and the mountains and the jungles of Papua New Guinea. We'll be there with Brother Chad Wells, Brother Brian Gerard, and Brother Caleb Wilson, and some other missionaries that I've never met. Miss Melanie Ellis is there. Brother Tim Ellis's daughter is working with Brother Chad, and she's got some people she's reaching, some ladies that are living with her. And so there's already 1 million Chick Tracks that were sent over there from Chick Publications, because Brother Chad helped to translate those Chick Tracks into Pidgin. And so as a gift to them, and just God's flinging the doors wide open. And so you pray for us. There was some hurdles to cross as far as visas and all the COVID stuff, but God worked all the details out. It's an amazing thing. God's trying to get people saved. Yeah. And I believe that with all my heart. And He's flinging doors open. And so as God provides, it's expensive. And it is a sacrifice, but it is an honor to be able to serve God. There's no easy, cheap way to win souls. Amen. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost our time. But the clock's ticking. Amen. Just like that clock up there is ticking. The clock's ticking, and we're running out of time. And it's time we get after it. Amen. Time to give. It's time to pray, and it's time to go. Amen. Get right with God and do something for the Lord. And I don't believe we have much time left. And so I think that's what the urgency of all this is. It's not about Brian Green or anybody else. It's just the fact that God's trying to get the gospel to the world because we're running out of time. Amen. So you pray for us, and we appreciate it. And I'm a little bit nervous about going to Papua New Guinea, to be honest with you. And it's crazy over there, amen. I heard the stories. I've read Brother Ted and Miss Lynn's books, and Brother Chad's sending us, I mean, into the mountains and the villages. So I've been trying to exercise a little bit to get my cardio up. But, man, we're just going to do what God's called us to do here. And so you pray for us. My mind's going a million places because I could stand up here in just the 7 or 8 months that we've been doing this. I could tell you story after story after story. But I won't do that tonight, and because we're going to preach a little bit. Psalm 78, Psalm chapter number 78, and we'll read one verse to you, and then we'll preach to you a little bit tonight. The Bible says in verse number 19, "Yea, they spake against God." You know that wasn't a very wise thing that they did there. They spake against God, and they said... Now, God's already brought them out of the wilderness, out of the land of Egypt, part of the Red Sea, and now they're here in the wilderness. They made this statement here, and it's really not a statement. It's a question that was questioning God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" You know, when you study your Bible, you'll find that there are many questions in the Bible. The devil asks questions in Genesis 3. You'll find that he questions God, and God asks man questions. Man asks God questions. Jesus asked his disciples questions, and disciples asked Jesus questions. And you know, some questions, they don't deserve an answer. The Bible says to answer not a fool according to his folly, according to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 4, lest thou be like unto him. But then the very next verse says that some questions do deserve an answer. Because he said to answer a fool according to his folly. That's not a contradiction. You say, what's the difference? The difference is we have to have some wisdom. Some wisdom from above, not to stoop to his level. Don't let him get away puffed up. You say, what is the difference? The heart of the questioner is what makes the difference. Is he or she a skeptic? Are they a cynic? Are they asking a question, or are they questioning? And there is a difference, and you ought to mark this upon the table of your heart, that a fool can ask more questions than a wise man could ever answer in a lifetime. And the Lord can handle our questions tonight. As a matter of fact, in John 20, the Lord made a special trip back for the one who had questions. And here in our text in Psalm 78, this question comes from a point of unbelief, more of a criticism about God than a question, a cynic. And they didn't expect an answer, but I'm thankful tonight that even in our unbelief, God is full of mercy. And so tonight, I want to just focus upon this question on, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And these were God's people that were making this statement, that were asking this question, or were questioning God. And can I say tonight that life will produce questions? As you journey through life, somewhere along the way, you're going to find yourself asking some questions tonight. There's a lot of times that even as children of God, as people that have experienced His grace and have been born again and God's been good to us, if we journey through life, many times we'll begin to ask some questions in life, and you might find yourself saying this, can God? Can God? And so tonight I want to preach on that subject tonight of can God? Number one, I want to look at some questions. Let's look at some questions here and look at Job in chapter number 25. Job chapter number 25, we find the first question. In Job chapter number 25 and verse number 4, that you might find yourself asking as you journey through this life. In Job 25 and verse number 4, the Bible said, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Here's the first question that you might find yourself asking in life as you journey through life. Number one, you may say, can God pardon iniquity? Can God pardon iniquity? Can I stop right here tonight and say this? Yes, He can tonight. Amen. We serve a God who is able to save. Amen. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 33, verse number 8, and I will cleanse them from all of their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all of their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Can I say tonight that we serve a God who is still able to save the vilest of sinners, amen, from the guttermost to the uttermost? We serve a God who is still able to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I've seen Him take a drunk and make a daddy out of him. I've seen Him take an old whore and make a mama out of her. I've seen Him take a rebellious teenager, birth them into the family of God, amen, and give them something down in their heart that makes them say, hey, I want to serve God with my life. Hey, that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who is able to pardon iniquity. Now listen, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be going to Papua New Guinea away from my family, carrying gospel literature, chick tracks, amen, and backpacks to the villages and the places that I don't know these people, amen. But listen, I'm telling you, I do that and we do that because we believe that God is still able to reach way down deeper than the stains of sin, pull them up out of the miry clay, set their feet upon a solid rock, and establish their goings. That's the kind of God we serve tonight. And you might say, can God save them? I say, yes, He can. Some of you maybe have a husband or a wife or a child, or maybe an aunt or an uncle or grandma or a grandpa, and you say, man, we've been praying for them for years, and you, Brother Brian, you don't know who they are. You don't know what their last name is. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've done. You're right, I don't tonight. And you might say, you know what, I just don't believe God can do it. Can I say tonight, amen, do not ask the question and say, can God? Can I tell you tonight that He still can? Amen, don't give up. Just keep praying for them. Amen. Keep witnessing. Keep living right. Just keep doing right. Amen. And putting them in the hands of God. And I'm telling you, God, you never know what He'll do because He's a God who can pardon iniquity. I got to thinking about, there was a woman, an old lady by the name of Margaret Freeney. We used to, years ago when I first started preaching, we went to the Four Seasons Nursing Home. And I was just 16, 17 years old. I got called to preach when I was 16, and I started preaching in them nursing homes. And there was an old lady. She was 103 years old. Her name was Margaret Freeney, and she was sitting in a wheelchair, and she would wheel that wheelchair up. I mean, I'm talking about put her feet right on the base of that pulpit, and her little old head would be about right here. Man, you'd be preaching. I mean, in her head, you could just look right down at the top of her head. She just little old frail 103-year-old Margaret Freeney. And we'd preach, and we didn't know if anybody was home or not, you know. She'd just come wheeling in there, and then they'd wheel her out. And old Margaret Freeney, one day I preached on the subject of the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I mean, I didn't have, my sermons are still not very deep, and they're not very good, amen. I mean, you got your deep Bible teacher, and Brother John's, he's a Bible teacher. I mean, I'm a little bit intimidated preaching in front of Brother John. But I'm telling you, I preached on the book, The Blood and the Blessed Hope, and little old Margaret Freeney, she started wheeling out of there, and there was a man in our church by the name of Keith Mills, member of Brother Mark Wesley's church there. And Brother Keith, he's still there, sits on the front row, faithful man of God, about 73, 74 years old. And Margaret Freeney went like this to Brother Keith with her little old frail 103-year-old hand. And she come up to, he come up to her and got right next to his ear to her lips. And she whispered with a little faint voice, she said, "I need to be saved." And right there in the Four Seasons Nursing Home, 103-year-old Margaret Freeney, amen, when Brother Keith knelt down and led her to the Lord, about 3 or 4 months later, she had turned 104 years old. And Margaret Freeney went off to glory. Hey, I tell you, that's cutting it pretty close, amen. But I'm thankful. Maybe somebody gave up on her. But I tell you, one man that didn't, it's God. Amen. God didn't give up on her. And I'm just saying tonight, church, you might find yourself asking this question: how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Can God pardon iniquity? I say tonight, church, yes, he can tonight. We serve a God who can save sinners. Amen. And then number two, look at this second question here that you might find yourself asking. It's found in Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37. And I probably won't preach all these. I've got, I don't know, 6 or 7 of them written down here tonight. And we'll just preach till we run out of time. Amen? And or tell the, like the washing machine, you know, when it runs out of water, we'll stop. Amen. Ezekiel 37, verse number 3. The question is asked here. The Lord asked Ezekiel this question. And he said, verse 3 of Ezekiel 37, he said unto me, "Son of man," here's the question, "can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." That's a pretty wise way to answer the Lord, isn't it? Amen. "O Lord God, thou knowest." We find the second question, not only can God pardon iniquity, and I say yes, he can tonight, but number two, can God produce life? You know, Ezekiel here in this text, we find in verse number 1, the Bible says that he set him down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. The Bible says in verse 2, "He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Ezekiel finds himself here in the midst of a valley full of dry bones. Bones, there was no life in them, there was no breath in them, there was no skin upon them, there was no meat upon them, there was no sinew upon them. They were just dry bones. And here he is in the midst, the Bible said he looks around and they were very many in this valley. And God looks down at Ezekiel and said, "Hey, son of man, can these bones live?" And I reckon that you and I, sometimes we get to looking around at the dryness of our situation. Amen. And the deadness of our churches today. Maybe you have a family situation or a child or whatever it might be. And you might say, "Hey, you don't understand, Brother Brian. These are not only dead, but they're not only dry. They are very dry and there is no life left in them." And you might say, "Hey, can God produce life?" Can I say tonight, yes, he can tonight. Amen. We serve a God who is able. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life." Amen. "And that they might have it more abundantly." You say, what will produce life? What produces life in your life? What produces life in this church? What will produce life in your family? What will produce life in a missions program? What will produce life with your children and your wife? Hey, I'll tell you, the same thing that caused these bones to live is the same thing that will cause you to live tonight. You say, what is it? Let's look at a few things. Verse number 4, the Bible said, "And again, he said unto me," look at this now, "prophesy upon these bones and say unto them," O ye dry bones, "hear the word of the Lord." Number one, I want to say this tonight. When you say, can God produce life? I say, yes, He can. How does He do it? Number one, preaching produces life tonight. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the first thing that He had to do here in verse number 4, He said, prophesy upon these bones. You know what will make a difference in your life tonight, church? Is the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, I tell you what will help America, what will help your family, what will keep it together. It's still the preaching of the Word of God. Give me a man with an old King James Bible. Give me a man with a call of God. Give me a man with a leather lung. Amen. And the commission of God, just a rare back. Amen. And say what thus saith the Lord and preach the Word of God. God chose preaching, and preaching will get the job done. I tell you, I'm sick and tired of preachers that won't preach. You know what Paul said? Paul's getting ready to die. He's over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He's penning the words to young Timothy, that young preacher, before he gets his head cut off and he goes on to glory. And I reckon if he's penning the last words to a young preacher, there are probably some pretty important things that he would say. You say, what did he say? He said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing at His kingdom. And this is what he said. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. And listen tonight, it has. We're living in that time right now. When they will not endure sound doctrine. It didn't say they would not hear it. It did not say that they would not even believe it. It just said they would not endure it. They're going to go find somebody else, and they shall heap to themselves what? Teachers. They don't want a preacher. They want a teacher. Preachers, amen, is what we need, not more teachers. And I believe we need some pastors and teachers, some men that can teach the Word of God, so don't misunderstand me. But they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. He said, but watch thou in all things. He said, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the day we're living in. Amen. People forsake the house of God. They forsake the man of God. Amen. But I'm telling you, Paul said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is what? Profitable to me for the ministry. Preaching. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. I got saved because of Brother Mark Wesley, May 7th of 1995 at Bible Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. He reared back and preached on the subject of I'll never get over the hill. And he talked about that hill called Calvary. On the seven rows back, the Holy Ghost came to where I was, knocked on my heart's door. Amen. I was a preacher's son. Amen. I mean, I had a drug problem, you know. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That was my drug problem. Hey, but God don't have no grandchildren. He just has children. And I'm telling you, I needed to be born again. And that man, Brother Mark Wesley, I mean, we was talking about it before church. I mean, he's a big fat Indian, amen. He's about 5 foot eight, about amen. He's as wide, he's twice as wide as he is high. And I'm telling you, Brother Mark, when he gets done preaching, it looks like he jumped in a swimming pool. And he reared back and preached to me, amen, hung me out over hell. And I'm telling you, I got born again because a man of God preached to me, preach. Can these bones live? Preaching will still get the job done this morning. Amen. Amen. Or tonight. Preaching. I got right with God because a man of God preached to me. When I went off in the weeds for a little while after my parents got a divorce, amen, kind of backslid on God a little bit. Not kind of, or a little bit, a whole lot. Amen. And I got, for somehow, I got under the sound of preaching. And I'm telling you, it wasn't long before I found myself on the side of an old-fashioned altar laid down on the concrete floors at Triple S Christian Ranch, Rosebud, Arkansas. Got as low as I could go, and I stayed there as long as I had to until I knew I got right with God. You say, why'd that happen, preaching? Preaching. Man, I met my wife under the sound of preaching. I got called by God, amen, under the sound of preaching. I'm just saying preaching will still get the job done tonight. Amen. Thank God for a man who will rear back and preach. He said, preach the word. Prophesy, verse 4, upon these bones and say unto them, preaching produces life. You know what else produces life? The pure word of God, verse number 4. He said, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight that we don't have to preach our opinions? We preach what thus saith the Lord. And give me a man who will get in this Bible and get a word from God and then deliver it, amen. I'm not talking about, amen, something that he got out of a magazine or something he got off the internet or something he got out of a book. I'm talking about he got it from God, straight from the word of God. Hey, that's what will produce life, a man who will rear back and preach what thus saith the Lord. The pure word of God. You know what else did it? The precious Holy Ghost in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause what? Breath. Breath to enter to you, and ye shall live. There's just something about the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is like the wind. Amen. Amen. He'll blow across you and your heart and your life. Amen. What happened in verse number 6? And I will lay sinews upon you, will bring flesh upon you. When that wind starts blowing, that Holy Ghost comes into your life and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He preached, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I like it whenever God gets in it, amen, and when the preaching happens and that wind starts blowing and there's a noise. And behold, a shaking. Amen. Preaching ought to shake you. Amen. Amen. Holy Ghost preaching. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, here's where the praying comes in. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. He's praying, and he said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. I'm just saying tonight, amen, in your life personally, in this church, in your family, God can produce life, and he does it through these things that I just preached to you tonight. You might look around and say, I don't know if God can do that. Amen. Don't question God, because he can tonight. God can produce life. Then go back to our text in Psalm 78. We're going to deal with this question that you might ask. Not only can God pardon iniquity and can God produce life, but we find here in Psalm 78, our text, and we just read it, the question that you might ask as you journey through this Christian life, you might ask the question, can God provide our needs? Can God provide our needs? Can he pardon iniquity? Yes, he can. Can he produce life? Yes, he can. Can he provide our needs? And God has showed us, he's teaching me this one. And God's showing us every now and then he doesn't need our help. There's a lot of men who won't do what God called them to do, because they just feel like they aren't in control anymore. God don't want you to have control of your life. He wants full control. Amen. Amen. He's got it all under control. Psalm 78:19, God brings them out. They're in the wilderness. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out. The streams overflowed. And can he give bread also? Isn't that just like us? I mean, God does one miracle and we see it and then we say, well, can he do this? Sure he can. I mean, he can give bread also in verse number. Can he provide flesh for his people? We've seen him give the water. We've seen him give the bread. But what about the flesh? Nobody's ever satisfied with the hand of God. Verse number 21, therefore the Lord heard this. You know, he hears it and was wroth. You say, I just don't think God can get mad at these things. Oh, he can. Look at it. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. You say, why? Why was God so mad? Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Can God provide our needs? Sometimes we wonder if God could even see our needs. I mean, we talk to God and we talk to other people like he doesn't even know and like he can't even provide tonight. You know what David said? I like what David said in Psalm 37. He said, I've been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not foreseen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. We serve a God who provides all of our needs. If you got a spiritual need here tonight, he can provide your spiritual need. If you need to be saved, he'll save you. If you need to get right with God, he'll restore you. I mean, he'll cleanse you, amen. Spiritually, he can provide. Emotionally, he can provide. Physically, he can provide. Financially, he can provide. Maritally, he can provide. Psychologically, he can provide. I got to thinking about the maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5. Here's a man, the Bible said all men had given up on him. I mean, here he is. The Bible says that he had a legion in him. He had at least 2,000 devils. The Bible said no man could tame him, no, not with fetters or chains. And he was crying and cutting himself in those tombs in the graveyard. And I mean, listen, the Baptist preacher given up on him, the Methodist preacher given up on him, the Catholic priest had given up on him. All religion had given up on him. His family and friends had given up on him. But I'm telling you, when that ship sailed and landed upon the shores, amen, of that graveyard, and the gangplank fell down and out stepped the Son of God, hey, there was a man named Jesus who came, and the Bible says he ran and he worshiped him. And hey, I'm telling you, about 10 verses into that thing, we find that the maniac of Gadara, the Bible said he is sitting, he is clothed, and in his right mind. You know what God did? God provided all of his needs. Amen. Spiritually, amen. Emotionally, he's sitting now. He's no longer running around crying, cutting himself. He's clothed. Where in the world did he find a Walmart? Or a mall. He's in a graveyard with Jesus. He was naked, but now he's clothed. You know what God can do? God can meet your financial and physical needs. Amen. And the Bible says he's in his right mind, no longer possessed with devils. But the Bible says he's in his right mind, and he wanted to go with Jesus. You know what Jesus said? No, no, no. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things I've done for you. God's still able to do it. I mean, look around here. I don't know none of you. Except for Brother John, maybe Miss Kim, amen. But I'm telling you, I've seen God take, amen, and meet people's needs, amen. Even in their life, I've seen God do some things, amen. And it floods my mind. And I talked to Zach this morning. I went inside the men's restroom, you know, seen Zach, their boy. I said, "Hey there, Will Hoyt." He didn't even see me. He said, "Hey, Green." And it's good to see Zach in church this morning. Amen. I'm talking, he's been through the ringer. Amen. Has things that haunt him. But I'm seeing God meet. I'm talking about provide some things for some people. Amen. Amen. And God called our family into this thing. And listen, I don't know. I don't know how he's doing it. Amen. Financially, I don't know. I mean, I went from, amen, working and being co-pastor at Shady Acres to now missionary evangelist. And I got 5 kids and a wife. And man, I mean, we went to book tickets for Papua New Guinea, $4,300. And then what, $250 for a visa, and another $100 for a visa in Australia. And then 3 weeks, amen, there. And man, I'm saying, Lord, how are you going to do all this? But I'm just telling you, God is still able. And sometimes, you know, we never put God in a position where he's the one who actually has to meet our needs. Have you ever put God in that position? Amen. Or you got it all figured out. Where God says, all right, this is what I want you to do. Say, no, 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 Lord, I can't do that. I'll do this, this, and this, but that part right there I can't do because I can't figure it out. That's not faith. You know, the only thing that pleases God is faith.
Amen. That's right. You're right.
It's the only thing that pleases God. And you know what will displease God? unbelief. Amen. As a matter of fact, it got the fire, verse 21, was kindled against Jacob. You know why? Because they believed not in God. We don't see it as a big deal, and God sees it as a real big deal. Let's look at another question tonight. Look at Job chapter number 11. You say, can God provide our needs? Yes, He can. Can He produce life? Yes, He can. Can He pardon iniquity? Oh, yes, He can. But in Job chapter number 11, verse number 7, we find another question that you might find yourself asking. In Job 11, verse 7, the Bible says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Here's the question that you might ask tonight. Brother Brian, can God be personal to me? Can I say tonight, yes, He can. You see, it's one thing for God to be your preacher's God, or to be your husband's God, or to be your wife's God, or to be mama's God, or daddy's God, or grandma's God, or grandpa's God. But can I say tonight, He can be your God tonight? Amen. He can be personal to you. Jeremiah said it this way, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? He said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Psalmist said, this I know, for God is for me. He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. When I first moved to Shady Acres, to Houston, almost a decade ago now, I pastored a little church out in New Mexico, Portales, New Mexico. And as I moved here, and God was using all that to teach me about Him. And I worked at Gallery Furniture, and I was making good money. I mean, I was making good money. I didn't even know you can make that much money working in retail, but Mattress Mac paid me good money. I mean, I made like $100,000 that year. I mean, it was unbelievable. Now, I ain't never seen, I never made that kind of money. Me, young man, pastoring, you know. And but it was taking me out of church on Sunday nights. And so I was sitting at our church camp with Pastor Farley, and he was eating some popcorn. He likes popcorn. He was sitting at the table eating popcorn, you know, just looking straight ahead. And I pulled a chair up next to him, and I poured my heart out to him. But how I had this, I take care of my family and just moved to Houston and had these bills to pay off and this, that, and the other and all these responsibilities. And I just poured my heart out, and I said, preacher, I said, well, what do I do? What, tell me what I need to do. I'm just eating this popcorn. Brother John will get a kick out of this because he knows Pastor Farley and Miss Kim. He just sitting there. I'm sitting here, I mean, I'm like, got my pulled up, you know. And he just takes a bite and he looks over at me like this. He said, that's not my problem. And just keeps eating. How do you like that for pastoral counseling? Brother Jack Wood said, all counseling is of the devil. Brother Farley took that to heart. And man, I walked away like this. But you know what I did? Went home. And I got on my face, and I began to call upon God. And I said, God, I need to know what to do. Lord, I'm in this dilemma. And God, I need You to show me. And I'm telling You, God came down to where I was, and He showed me what I needed to do, and He worked out all the details. And I got the word from God, and just a few years had passed, and Brother Farley was talking to some young men on our platform, and he told me, he said, he was telling them a situation, and I reminded him of that situation, and he kind of smiled, and I said, preacher, it just clicked. It just clicked on what you were doing. He said, yeah. He said, I knew what you needed to do. He said, but you didn't need to hear from me. I was trying to teach you to hear from God. Amen. He didn't tell me that. You know, a young preacher would have said that. I mean, he would have said, you know, this is what you need to do. But the old preacher with wisdom, amen. I mean, he watched me walk away like a puppy, amen, that just got his toes stepped on. But I'm telling you, I learned that God can be personal to me. And you don't have to go to the preacher for every single answer of all the questions of life, but you can get on your face before God and you can say, oh God, I need to hear from God. Lord, I need to know what thus saith the Lord. Canst thou by searching find out God? I say, yes, you can.
Yeah.
But you got to search. You got to seek. You got to knock. You got to wait and listen. Let me give you another one here in Genesis 41. I won't keep you much longer. Y'all going to go home and watch TV anyhow. It's amazing how everybody wants the preacher to get done, you know, in some of these churches, and he gets done on time and they spend 2 hours fellowshipping.
Amen.
Which is a good thing. Amen. I always say you can always tell the health of a church on how fast people leave after the last amen. Genesis 41, verse number 38, the Bible says this, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man, in whom the Spirit of God is. Here's the question, can God post a man? You know, God is still in the business of calling men. Listen, the Bible says in John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I like that. Amen. Sometimes I wish my name was John, so that could be real personal.
Amen.
Daniel 2:21 says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. George Whitefield and February of 1738 left England for America, and the ship stopped in Gibraltar for 2 weeks. George Whitefield used the opportunity to preach the gospel, and many of those English soldiers were stationed there at the fort, and he began to preach and minister to those men. And Whitefield wrote in his journal on March the 6th of 1738, he said, I had near, if not more, than 100 men at morning exposition. And it being my last day at my sojourning at Gibraltar, many came to me weeping, telling me what God had done for their souls, desiring my prayers and promising me their prayers in return. Others both gave and sent me tokens of their love as cakes, figs, wine, eggs, and other necessities for my voyage, and seemed to want for words to express their affection. I'm saying God posts a man wherever He wants a man. And there were some men on Gibraltar that needed a man of God for 2 weeks. And so God took that ship off of its voyage, if you will, off of the pattern, off of the path, and stationed it there so George Whitefield could go. And God sends those men wherever He wants them to be. He sent Brother Jack Wood to Houston and let him take the Shady Acres Baptist Church. And then he sent our pastor, Brother Danny Farley. These are just personal to me. Went to Comanche County, Texas, the little town called DeLeon, and found a little farm boy to be the successor of Brother Jack Wood to take the reins of the mighty ship, Shady Acres Baptist Church, as she sails through Houston. He sent a man by the name of Brother Dan Metters, a man that was raised in an orphan's home in Weatherford, Texas, and sent him down to Houston and led him to read that tract there that was given to him with Brother Jack Wood's information on it, and to go to the Bible Institute there at our church. And then later on, after he moved his life and his family there, Brother Dan was reading his Bible one day in Luke 14:21. Bible says, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And God sent Brother Dan Metters to the streets of Houston downtown for 15 years and into evangelism. And I just talked to him on the way here, and he told me to tell you hi, Brother John. He went to Northeast Louisiana and found a man by the name of Brother Gary Lutrick, a Louisiana redneck. It just so happens to be my father-in-law. A man with a wrecked life, and as he gives his testimony, he came here to y'all's revival when Brother Tim Talbert was here, It said he rolled into the Houston on the back of an old motorcycle with just the clothes on his back. Life torn apart and sat there for 16 and a half years doing nothing, just waiting on God to send him into full-time evangelism. And finally the day came after 16 and a half years. God said, Gary, I want you to go, and sent him and my mother-in-law and my wife Kathleen and Jack and Gary, and they sent them off, and that old motorhome, Brother Jack said, man, I wouldn't drive that thing across the street to the barbershop. Had an old tree growing out the top of it and went off to New York. Brother Jack and Brother Danny tells me, he said, man, I remember them little kids with their faces planted up into the to the window there as they were looking out, just smiling, happy as a pig in mud. And now for over 30 years now I've been preaching. I'm just talking about God. God will and can post a man. He'll send an old drunk to get saved by the grace of God and change his life, send him to serve in the prisons all over the state of Texas. I think about Brother Bobby Cox and men all over the world that I could sit here and talk about, Brother Buddy Duke, my friend, and Brother Rick Weimer, and Brother Josh Denise Stokes, Brother Walt Selman. These are missionaries, men that God, there was a need. There was lost people. There was a field, and God went and found them, and then He posted them. A man, the Bible says in verse 38, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The last question I could point you to, we'll be done. Job 22. You see, you need not only believe that God can post a man, but in Job 22, here's the last question and we'll be done. And I've got more, but we'll stop at this one. Job 22 and verse number 2. Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Here's the question. Can not only God post a man, but can God put me to use? You see, you need not only to believe that God will send a man or a woman, but you must also believe tonight that that man or that woman might just be you. Can God put me to use? Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? We serve a God tonight who don't just call other people. Amen. He will call you. Amen. As I said in my video, everybody is somebody in the body. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. God can use you tonight. I've doubted my salvation, but I've never doubted my call to preach. Amen. And tonight, as you journey through life, you might find yourself saying, can He pardon iniquity? Can He produce life? Amen. Can He post a man? Can He provide our needs? Can He put me to use? Can I say tonight the answer is the same for all of them? Yes, He can tonight. And He can use you. He can do something in this church if you get God in here. That wind blowing around, and you never know what God will do. God, tell you this, God can turn it all around like that.
Amen.
Amen. He can do it like that. I mean, one service, one encounter with God, God can change the direction of your life, of your family, of your children, of your spouse, of your church. God can tonight. Father, thank You, Lord, that You can. Father, thank You, Lord, for letting us have a part in, Lord, the work of God and the service of the Lord. And Father, bless this church tonight and, Lord, their efforts to try to do something for You here in this area, Lord, that needs the gospel light. Father, touch this man of God and touch these dear people. And Father, help our family, Lord, as we take the seed and we sow the seed in the cities and in the villages and the towns and even in the country around the world. Lord, as the time clock is ticking, Lord, for that trumpet to sound and the world's falling apart, and Lord, their only hope is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray tonight if there's one in here that's lost without you, I pray tonight before we leave that they would get the eternal destination of their never dying soul settled before it's eternally too late. And then, Father, help us tonight, Lord, just to believe that God can. And God, if you spoke to somebody tonight, Lord, maybe they need to do business with God. Lord, I don't know what they need, but Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, what business that needs to be done, I pray that they would take care of business between you and them. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for letting us serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.